Welcome, curious minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that's, well, it's not just trending, it's truly transformative for every investor out there. We're talking about how artificial intelligence can fundamentally revolutionize your investment research. Imagine cutting through hours of dense documents, quickly unearthing critical insights, and maybe even formulating initial investment theses, all with the help of AI. It's a real game changer, I think, for anyone looking for that distinct edge. Our source material for this deep dive comes from Bakula Lawler's incredibly insightful presentation. It's called Improving Your Stock Research Using AI. He shows us exactly how an independent investor like you can harness powerful yet pretty accessible tools like Google's Notebook LM and the goal to dramatically compress research time. So our mission today is to unpack its practical real-world applications. We're focusing specifically on how you can leverage these tools to enhance your analysis, extract that critical information, and really accelerate your path to being truly well-informed.
Indeed. And it's timely, isn't it? We're living in an age where the sheer volume of information investors face is just staggering. And these AI tools are evolving at such a breathtaking pace to help us cope. What's really fascinating here, I think, is that this deep dive isn't just about the what of AI, but the how. It's about demonstrating practical, actionable steps you can take, well, right now. It's really about finding that crucial balance between leveraging AI's incredible speed and, importantly, maintaining your essential critical human oversight.
Right.
This isn't just buzzwords. It's about gaining a distinct, tangible edge in understanding companies like never before. Think of it as having an intelligent co-pilot for your due diligence, maybe. Okay, let's unpack this and see how AI can transform your investment research.
Okay, so Bakula Lawler kicks things off with a core premise that, honestly, it immediately resonates if you're an investor.
Yep.
He talks about the traditional stock selection guide, the SSG. And he says it might cover about, say, 80% of the work for large cap and maybe even mid cap companies. But here's where it gets really interesting. For smaller companies, that same SSG often only covers a mere 20%.
Just 20%.
That leaves a massive 80% of deep, often incredibly time-consuming research that needs to be done manually. And that's the kind of grind, that can deter even the most dedicated investor.
And this is precisely where Bakula highlights the immense value AI brings to the table. His key takeaway is pretty clear. These tools offer compression of time and higher productivity in that really demanding research phase. We're talking about a significant shift. It's moving away from purely text-based computer interactions to analyzing a vast array of digital content. Everything from website links, YouTube videos, raw text, Google Docs, slides, PDFs, even MP3 audio files from earnings calls.
Wow. Okay. So audio too.
Yeah, the ability to process all these diverse formats is a significant leap. It fundamentally changes how quickly you can get to the core insights.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, what does this all mean for your research workflow? I mean, how does it help you day to day? Bakula suggests a few key goals, right? You can use AI to get a super fast first cut of analysis, which seems invaluable. You can refine your existing SSGs with more granular AI extracted data. You can produce custom reports tailored to your specific questions, gain additional insights that might be buried deep within documents you'd otherwise miss.
Right. It's like finding needles in haystacks, but much faster.
Exactly.
Right.
Essentially, AI can help you effectively act as a sophisticated stock watcher.
Yeah.
Monitoring companies with far greater efficiency, always on the lookout for those crucial nuggets of information. Now, for the tool itself, Bakula Lawler chose to demonstrate Google's Notebook LM. This powerful platform runs on their Gemini AI, and it's what he uses to show us all these fantastic capabilities.
And the basic interaction is remarkably straightforward. You input a prompt, like a question or instruction, and you get a response from the AI. The crucial next step, though, and Bakula really emphasizes this, is to critically fact-check that response. Because while AI is powerful, it's not infallible. It can make mistakes.
Absolutely key. Fact check everything.
Definitely. And Notebook LM is designed to handle a wide range of sources. You can upload up to 50 documents or sources, things like critical filings, your 10Ks, earnings call transcripts, proxy statements, and even comprehensive analyst reports like Morningstar equity reports or Value Line reports. Plus, you can include YouTube links, assuming they're publicly accessible, of course.
50 sources is quite a lot to feed it. And what immediately stands out is the intuitiveness of the user interface, as
right.
Bakula points out. It's neatly divided into three distinct panels. On the left, you see all your uploaded sources, which is handy. The middle panel is your primary interaction space where you type your prompts and see the AI's responses. And then on the right, there's what they call the studio panel.
Studio.
And the studio sounds like a treasure trove of AI-generated assets. It can apparently create audio synopses, sometimes 18 to 30 minutes long, which is interesting, video overviews, mind maps for visual thinkers, and various report types like briefing documents, study guides, FAQs. It really seems to condense information into more digestible formats.
It does. And a nice touch you highlighted is the ability to widen that middle interaction panel. Gives you more screen real estate when you're really digging into a lot of information or a long AI response.
Okay, let's get into the nuts and bolts then. Bakul's first practical demo tackles something every investor grapples with, extracting those core SSG inputs. How exactly did he approach getting those four critical data points, you know, revenue growth, EPS growth, high PE, and low PE, the things we often spend so much time digging for?
Well, the key, as he demonstrated, was a very specific and effective prompt. He told the AI, "You are a financial analyst giving a presentation to an investment club regarding a company. You must answer the following questions. What are the possible revenue growth rate ranges in 5 years? What are the ranges for EPS growth? What is the high PE range for the next 5 years? What are the low PE ranges for the next 5 years?"
Giving it that persona, you are a financial analyst.
Exactly. By giving it that context, the AI knows to focus on financial specific insights and, you know, communicate them in a relevant way for an investor.
And he demonstrated this using MasterCard.
Yeah.
Right. The results sounded fascinating. The AI swiftly aggregated diverse analyst estimates from both Morningstar and Valueline, even though he didn't explicitly tell it where to look. Which is clever.
Yeah, it figures that out from the context of the sources.
And it found a pretty tight consensus on revenue growth, summarizing it in the 11 to 13% range. But interestingly, for EPS growth, it presented a broader spread, 11 to 16.8%, reflecting different analyst outlooks. The AI also provided a high PE range, 32 to 36. But what stood out for the low PE was that the AI actually flagged a big difference between Morningstar and Valueline's figures. So it immediately highlighted a point for closer human scrutiny, which is really useful.
And this brings us to Bakul's absolutely crucial point. Always fact check and refine. Always. Even with the AI suggestions, Bakul still adjusted the numbers for his SSG. For instance, I think he settled on 34 for the high PE and 30 for the low PE after his own independent review and judgment.
Right, using his own experience.
Exactly. The SSG outcome for MasterCard, based on these adjusted inputs, showed an upside-downside ratio of 1.9 to 1. He calculated a potential purchase price of around $433, but the stock was trading way up at $586, meaning, as he put it simply, it was not ready to buy. This perfectly illustrates how AI is a powerful starting point, a great assistant, but the investor's discernment is still indispensable.
That fact-checking step is so vital. It really can't be stressed enough. He also highlighted the tool's save-to-note feature for retaining results, which sounds handy. But he cautioned us about a little quirk. When you copy numbers out of those saved notes, they apparently lose their direct source links back to the original document.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So for serious due diligence, you always need to be mindful of where the data originated and be prepared to re-verify if you're pulling data out of that notebook LM environment.
Okay. So once you have a clearer picture of the company's financials, maybe helped by the AI, what's the next crucial piece of the puzzle? Bakul suggests it's the people running the show, management. As Bill Nygren famously observed, when you invest, you're not just buying a balance sheet, you're also buying the services of its management.
That's a great quote.
It is, and that naturally leads us to the vital question for you, the listener. How is the management being paid? What metrics are they actually incentivized by?
Exactly. And Bakul used a simple yet powerful prompt for this. What financial metrics are used for management incentive compensation? What's fascinating, again, is the AI figured out on its own to go straight to the proxy statement, the DF-14A filing, without Bakul needing to specify that document.
That's impressive. It knows where to look for comp info.
Yeah, this is where the AI really shines, understanding that kind of context and navigating these dense legal documents for you. It saves a ton of time just finding the right section.
And the results for MasterCard were incredibly detailed and revealing, weren't they? For the annual incentive compensation, their bonuses, it was weighted 2/3 on adjusted net income and 1/3 on adjusted net revenue, plus an ESG modifier, meaning factors related to environmental, social, and governance performance could influence the final payout.
Right, that ESG component is becoming more common.
And for the long-term incentives, it was tied to adjusted earnings per share, weighted 50%, adjusted net revenue, also weighted 50%, and relative total share return, comparing their stock performance to peers.
Understanding these specific metrics allows you, as an investor, to track what truly motivates the leadership. It gives you a deeper insight into their operational focus and how well it aligns, hopefully, with shareholder value. It helps you bridge that gap between the financial statements and, well, human behavior at the top.
Okay, so once you're armed with that granular knowledge of management's incentive metrics, the next logical step, as Bakul showed, is to see how much they actually discuss these specific items in their earnings calls. You know, are they walking the talk? Are their public statements reflecting what they're actually paid to achieve?
Exactly. Are they focused on what drives their pay? For this, Bakul crafted a pretty comprehensive prompt designed for earnings call transcripts. He asked it, get a discussion on the following. Adjusted net income, adjusted net revenue, adjusted earnings per share, relative total share return, cash flow from operations, free cash flow, CapEx, 16 POGUS.
16 POGUS. I remember this part. That wasn't real, was it?
No, exactly. That last term, 16 POGUS, was intentionally made up. He included it specifically to test the AI's tendency to hallucinate or just invent information, which is a crucial check for its reliability.
A very clever test. Oh. So how did it do?
Well, he unpacked the results, and this is where that hallucination test came in. The AI provided detailed discussions on the various legitimate financial metrics, even noting specific quarters and years where management talked about them. But crucially, for 16 POGUS, the term he intentionally made up, the AI correctly responded something like, there is no information within the provided source regarding bonus bogus.
Okay, so it didn't just make something up. That's good.
Exactly. This is incredibly reassuring. It demonstrates its ability to not invent answers when the information isn't there. That's a huge relief when you're relying on it for critical financial data. He did note some variability, though. Sometimes the AI might initially miss a term like CapEx.
Oh.
Yeah, but it would often find it if prompted with a more descriptive phrase like investments made in property, plant, equipment. It just shows that prompting can be an iterative process sometimes. A little refinement in how you ask can unlock more precise results.
Good tip. Be persistent and maybe rephrase. Next up, Bakul tackled the notoriously dense 10K filings. You know how those 10K filings can be hundreds of pages, a lot of it dense legal boilerplate that often hides the real risks or key details? Bakul's prompt for this was brilliantly simple, though.
Indeed. For identifying risks, he just used a direct prompt. What are the risks associated with things that may be articulated in the 10K? And the AI quickly summarized key categories, like payment industry regulation and compliance risks for MasterCard. And then for impairments or write-offs, another area often buried in footnotes, his prompt was simply, are there any discussions on impairments or write-offs?
And could it find them?
Yes. The AI was able to dig through all that boilerplate text to find actual material impairments, even if they were deeply nested in, say, definitional sections. For MasterCard, it actually flagged a specific 2024 downward adjustment, which is exactly the kind of detail a human might easily miss or skim over in a quick read of a long document.
Wow, that's a huge time saver right there. Instead of you having to sift through hundreds of pages of legal jargon, the AI provides a fast initial scan. It points you directly to potentially material information. It's about efficiently getting to the so what from those often impenetrable documents.
Precisely. And Bakul then introduced a significant new development in regulatory reporting that AI can quickly help you understand and leverage. It's the SEC's August 2022 update to Regulation SK. This now requires a specific pay versus performance table in proxy statements, starting from December 2022 filings. This is a real game changer for compensation analysis.
And it's absolutely vital because, as he explained, traditional compensation tables were often incredibly confusing, weren't they? It was really hard to discern what CEOs and other named executive officers actually got paid in a given year, mainly because of the staggered vesting of things like restricted stock units, RSUs, and performance share units, PSUs.
Mm-hmm. The timing made it murky.
Yeah, all common forms of equity compensation. But this new table clarifies the actual compensation received in the year, offering, well, unprecedented transparency.
And his prompt for this was super simple. Just provide the pay versus performance table. The AI understood to pull this specifically from the proxy statement, and it outputs standard columns, including the principal executive officer and other named executive officer's actual compensation, alongside total shareholder return, TSR, compared against a relevant benchmark index. For MasterCard, he noted it used the S&P 500 Financials Index, and it also includes GAAP net income in millions.
So you can see pay versus performance side by side.
Exactly. He gave the MasterCard example, I think it was 2020, where MasterCard's TSR significantly outperformed its benchmark. The AI immediately surfaced this compelling comparison, giving you a clear data point on management's effectiveness relative to its peers, right alongside their actual pay for that period.
That's powerful context. Okay, and then he shifted to another really powerful application, generating an investment thesis. You know, a lot of people, myself included sometimes, struggle with articulating a clear, concise investment thesis. What if AI could give you a head start, helping you synthesize all that data you've gathered into a coherent argument?
It's a common challenge, and Bakul's prompt here was straightforward again. Provide an investment thesis statement in the form of a hypothesis.
Mm.
For MasterCard, the AI generated a statement something like, MasterCard will deliver sustainable market-beating returns over the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh.
And it included a rationale referencing the company's moat, which it likely picked up from analyzing the Morningstar report he'd uploaded.
Ah, pulling concepts from the source.
Well, right. But he stressed, and this is key, that this is merely a starting point. It's a hypothesis generated by the AI. It's something to be refined, challenged, and ultimately validated by your independent analysis and judgment. But it absolutely helps you articulate those initial thoughts.
Get the ball rolling on your thesis. I like that. And as a final, really useful practical trick for getting digestible output, Bakul showed how simply adding the qualifier in a table at the end of a prompt can make a big difference. For example, asking, provide how cash is invested in property, plant, equipment, and capitalized software in a table.
Mm-hmm.
And that command tells the AI to give you neatly packaged, easily readable data in a table format. Super helpful for quickly comparing figures across different reports or time periods.
Yeah, structuring the output is another useful skill when prompting.
Definitely. So after seeing all these incredible capabilities from Bakul Lal's deep dive, it's really important to bring the conversation full circle. While AI is undeniably powerful, it's definitely not a silver bullet, is it? So what does this all mean for your role as an investor, especially when considering its limitations?
That's the crucial question. And Bakul was very clear about the potential downsides, the cons of using AI. First and foremost is hallucination. We touched on this. AI can sometimes concoct information, essentially make things up if it's not properly grounded in the source documents. This emphasizes the absolute necessity of fact-checking every single output. You just have to.
Every time.
Every single time. He even mentioned an instance from the Q&A after his talk where someone noted the AI had provided wrong pre-tax profit margins. It illustrates this real risk. Then there's the risk of overfitting data.
Overfitting. What does that mean exactly?
It means the AI might find intricate patterns in the historical data you feed it that look significant but are actually just random noise. They aren't truly predictive. It's like teaching a student to identify cats by only showing them pictures of fluffy orange cats. It might get really good at spotting fluffy orange cats. But then they might struggle when they see a sleek black cat for the first time. The AI can become too specific to the training data it saw, potentially missing broader, more significant patterns in the real world or in new data.
That's a great analogy. Makes sense. And I imagine confirmation bias could be a real danger here too, right? If you're already leaning towards a certain investment and the AI serves up information that seems to support it, it could kind of blind you to contradictory evidence.
Absolutely. The danger of confirmation bias only looking for information that supports a pre-existing belief is very real with these tools. It's vital to actively use the AI to seek out contrary information, to challenge your own assumptions, not just confirm them. Ask it for the bear case, for instance. And lastly, he mentioned variability. AI's answers can sometimes change slightly, even if you ask the same prompt twice.
Like the CapEx example.
Exactly, like the CapEx example. It might require persistent questioning and verification. You have to remember, this tool is here to enhance your critical thinking, not replace it.
That's a powerful reminder. AI is a tool, an incredibly effective one, as Bakul showed, but it's not a replacement for your own judgment as an investor. The human mind, with its ability to critically assess, to question assumptions, connect the dots beyond just raw data, that remains absolutely indispensable. You're still the pilot, right? AI is just giving you much better instruments.
Well said.
So what an incredible deep dive into the world of AI-powered investment research, all thanks to Bakul Lala's insights. We've seen how AI can accelerate your analysis, uncover hidden details in vast documents, and even help you formulate those initial investment hypotheses. It really saves you precious time and effort, doesn't it? It truly illustrates that AI is an invaluable assistant, transforming a lot of the grunt work into quick, actionable insights.
It's clear that AI is a powerful force multiplier, absolutely. But as we've discussed, it's never a substitute for an investor's own diligence and independent judgment. The true power really emerges when the informed human, that's you, actively guides, questions, and verifies the AI's output. If we connect this to the bigger picture, you've just gained a significant head start, I think, in leveraging cutting-edge technology for your financial future. And perhaps this raises an important question for you to ponder. How will you integrate these AI tools into your personal investment workflow? Not to delegate your thinking, but to elevate it, to find those aha moments faster, perhaps, and ultimately become an even more discerning lifetime investor.
A great question to end on. Thank you for joining us on this fascinating deep dive. Keep learning, keep questioning, and continue your own journey of informed discovery.